Don't look under the internet.
I would like to start this episode off with a fun joke, boys.
Oh, God.
So
that is the worst string of words I've ever heard in my life.
So I went to the chiropractor the other day and because my back was hurting. And the chiropractor went up to me and was like, "All right, so what seems to be going on?" I'm like, "You know, I think I tweaked my back the other day. I need a little bit of help with this." "Okay, go ahead and lie here." So I approached the bench like a court. And that's when I started just basically unraveling everything. I told him all about how difficult it is to put on a happy face and how every single time I go out into the world, I introduce myself as a whole new person just because it's the only way for me to feel excitement anymore. I often tell people that I am a single man, but I'll keep the ring on in order to cause confusion. I will often say one thing to my supervisors and management at work, and I will not keep up on that end of the bargain. And the chiropractor, he goes up to me. He's like, "Why are you telling me all this?" And I'm like, I'm not done yet. And I keep going at him, and I'm like, "You know, the worst part about everything is, I came here off of a whim. You know, I just felt like it. I just felt like coming through the door. My back doesn't even hurt." And the doctor was like, "Wait, what?" I was like, "Yeah, my back is fine." And the chiropractor stood there in awe. He wasn't quite sure why I was doing the things that I was doing, why I was where I was in that certain time. And he finally asked me, and he said, "Why are you telling me all these terrible things?" And that's when I said to him, "Well, you told me to lie here, so I figured I would. Now, can you actually fix my back? Because that was real."
What the fuck? I as soon as you said the lie thing,
I'm going, how do you kick a member out of the podcast?
So we have a couple fourth wall subscriptions that I want to shout out. We have Kosh Jalobnak. Kosh Jalobnak? Kosh Jalob.
If you keep we saying it, it won't make more sense.
We also
I'd say good name. We can't even read it.
That's true. That's right. Keep it up. We also
if your name evokes zero emotions in me, good name. Very good name.
We also have
your real name too, great name.
Yeah.
Mishkin Mortis. Mishkin Mortis. We also have a few patrons for me to shout out. We have Candy.
Hey.
Just Candy?
Yes, just Candy. How do we feel about that one?
I mean, Candy's Candy, man. I can't really slight it.
2 out of 10.
It is the season.
2 out of 10.
And then we also have Dark Fire Jacob. Very edgy.
It's like MySpace.
If there's one thing... Oh, that concludes the housekeeping.
On to the next section of the podcast.
We're talking about Super Mario 64. Declassified.
No, classified. Not declassified.
It's not Ned's survival guide. This is the game. Yeah. It's classified. Like a document from the government, the IRS. It's classified.
This is directly from the IRS. Yep.
Yes.
It's weird that the IRS would put out a piece of media like this.
Yes.
But here
so,
we are.
Boys. This right here is the type of shit that I love.
Oh, I know.
This is the things. This is why I do the show is for these type of things. It's an analog core, but most importantly, I know it's cheesy.
But it's not news analog.
That's fair.
It's not news analog horror.
It's not a local 58 clone.
I love me a... We'll save
I don't think
bones.
We can. Yeah, I don't think we can for this one because a lot of the analog horror, I guess Matt and I would say gripes that we have with analog horror don't really exist in this one. So this is a good one. Yeah.
Not only is it a good one, but I'm a sucker for the haunted video game.
Oh, you love that shit, man.
Theme. Yeah, I love that. Ben Drowned, this one.
Yeah.
Name Another. I love it so much.
A bunch of other ones.
Yeah,
I'm sure there's I'm sure there's a Sonic one out there.
Oh, there is.
There
Needle
is.
Mouse.
Sonic.exe.
No, Sonic EXE, Needle sure Mouse. Not, yeah, there's a couple of different ones.
Yeah.
Blue Mouse.exe.
Yeah, so
Boomy the Cat.
So I found this one and kind of let Jason take the helm on making the topic for it because I'm bad at making topics and Jason's much better at that than I am.
I think the word you're looking for is outline.
Outline, yes. Thank you. Not topic. So, but I just kind of like...
Jason actually made this whole thing.
Yeah, I made... I am Greenio. Rip the band-aid off Greenio. Now.
I don't remember how I came across this, but I was just going through the YouTube, you know, the YouTube rabbit hole that
do you watch Do you watch all those iceberg videos?
No.
Oh, well that's how I knew about this. So.
Yeah. There's actually a pretty well-known iceberg video that introduced a lot of people to this, at least the concept of this.
Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah. I know what they are. I know the concept. I just haven't watched one.
That's actually where this one starts. There was a picture of an iceberg and there was something from this one that was mentioned in that. And we're going to hold on to that to a little bit later, 'cause it actually makes a little bit more sense to explain this at the very end. But just know, you see this, essentially you saw this iceberg chart that was all of like the Super Mario 64 conspiracies or secrets, or basically it went over like the very surface level stuff that everybody knew about. And then as you go down, it goes through more and more things of esotericism and specialized knowledge and stuff. But that's kind of what introduced the world to this.
Mm-hmm.
And what are we talking about again, Mike?
Super Mario 64 Classified.
Nailed
a YouTuber named Greenio. Just look at Greenio. Yeah. You'll find him as well. Kind of upsetting because this started really popular. Like the first episode has like 2.5 million views.
Yeah.
And the next one, it's like, and about 200,000. And then it's like, about 150,000. It just kind of stayed around that frame, which is disappointing because it shows how people, like, if you're making an analog horror, like, you got to really blow it out of the water. Otherwise, you just and keep that same momentum. Otherwise, you just drop in the views, which I think is unfair because this one is fun. I enjoyed it. So do you want me to start it off, boys?
I would love you to. We kind of have a decent idea of what this... Do we have an idea of what this is? Like, what
haunted,
are we getting into right now?
They make it pretty clear on paper. It's obviously some sort of weird version of Mario 64. And you'll notice I'm on brand with Nintendo with all of my Nintendo products on my table. And by Nintendo...
I forgot about that.
I mean my Crash Bandicoot and my PlayStation 1. Very Nintendo of me.
Why
How you feeling,
why,
Matt?
Why was that?
What?
You sound so much better.
Yeah, I cleared my
throat. That.
Yeah, oh that would God. Do that sometimes.
That's so much better.
So, I'll start it off. We'll just kind of go back a little bit. Essentially, what happens here is we get the first video, and it is titled 5/30/97, sort of like it is a date, May 30th, 1997. We open up to this glitchy version of the big Mario head in Mario 64, where he's like, it's me, and you can like pull on his fucking dumb nose and shit. And this looks like it's a VHS recording of someone playing the game, like they're recording a CRTV of someone playing Mario 64. Off of just an old shitty VHS tape. And this
or
version
like or someone's like recording their shitty CRT monitor with a
that too.
Shitty camcorder from the 90s.
Yeah. That's what I, yeah. Yeah. But it, you can tell off the bat that this is a pretty glitchy copy of Mario 64. It opens right up after you see Mario's head to a hex code. And when you decipher it, it says something along the lines of every copy. And then you also hear this Japanese narrator that says something along the lines of the fun of Nintendo will be this year. And it's kind of, you could partly understand them. It's kind of broken up because the audio is so shit in these old ass games. But then the game cuts and we are now in front of Bowser's staircase. Like in the game, for those of you that haven't played the game like me, I mean, I at least understand
it. I'm sorry. Okay, actually, hold on. Before we go any further, out of the four of us here, have we all played through at least, like, I don't know, 4 to 5 hours of Mario 64?
I've played maybe...
Does my video game of Mario 64 right here...
I don't know, dude. Anything? I have so many Steam games that I've never opened or installed.
It's different to have a physical Nintendo 64 game than a Steam game.
So, Mike, have you
got this one
legit
that
never...
has plastic wrap on it that I've never opened.
So. Ooh, nice.
Well, see, now
wait,
that...
is that like a different logo?
What is that?
It looks different than mine.
Oh, hell nice. Yeah. Hell yeah. Mm-hmm. Hell yeah. So, Mike, you said you've never actually played Mario 64.
I've played maybe a half hour total. Wow, I grew up on PlayStation.
Clearly, yeah, PlayStation. Yeah.
I mean, I know
you have
game.
A Switch now.
I've seen playthroughs. I know the game. But anyway, but for those that you don't know, you in order
on,
to get
let's
to
bully him more.
In order to get
I'll
to
be
Bowser,
nice.
In order to get to Bowser, you have to go up this staircase and it leads to this this painting of Bowser. And in this game, you jump through paintings to get to different levels. And we start off at Bowser's staircase. You open up the door and the moment you do, it's dead silent. The music all just stops. Going up the stairs leads to this glitchy text that says, "Turn back." And then this mad lad of a gamer decides he's going to backwards long jump all the way up the stairs. Because I guess that's a cheat in or like a speedrun hack.
It's a speedrun thing, yeah.
Yeah, it just gets you going
it's so much faster. Yeah, especially upstairs.
Because like you can literally like glide upstairs doing it that. Like if you do it the right way, you can just be like
100% a speedrun thing.
Well, he does that.
Otherwise, it doesn't matter.
He does that. And as he's doing this, you get these glitchy like images of an evil looking Bowser. It's like that. It's one of the paintings. It's like when you get closer to the Bowser painting, it turns into like flame Bowser. I don't know how to explain it, but you know what I'm talking about. But it's a bunch of those images on the screen. And then you get this text that keeps popping up that says, "Turn back, please." And it keeps flashing on the screen. It immediately cuts. And we cut to Mario on the ground, and he's just straight up dead. Like, he's just face down, bye-bye. Ass up. That's the way I like to die. And we get the hex code from earlier that pops up. That
they
is
can't
the
hear that,
copy.
Can they? Do you guys not hear that sound effect?
Nope. Never do.
Cool. Did you just happen to wah at the same time that we wah?
Literally exact same time. Yeah, we have the Mario wah sound.
The people
way.
Will
you
never
guys will hear this when the
difference.
Episode comes out. Yeah.
So we then cut to Mario, and he's like falling down, and he lands right in front of Bowser, like it's the final fight against Bowser. And then Bowser goes through his little speech. He's like, "Oh, you'll never beat me. I got the princess." And then it goes to another text bubble, and then the music again cuts away, and it's just sitting in silence. And the text bubble says, "It's time to wake up, please." And then another cut. And now Mario immediately just gets like crushed in this like trash compactor, like it's the scene from Star Wars. And we end on that same hex code from the beginning that says "every copy." And that's the end of the first.
Every copy, huh?
It doesn't have the every same copy. Effect every if they copy. Can't hear it.
I know. I should have boosted the volume more.
The wah?
I think Discord cuts it out.
I think it does. Like it's real loud over here.
It is super loud.
That's probably why it cuts it out. Usually it cuts out loud noises.
Oh.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Discord. Anyway. Continue, Mike. I'm so sorry.
That's okay. I'll continue. So the next video is titled September 2nd, 1997. And essentially how this guy starts off is it starts off with the level select screen where the player is taking Mario to Bob-omb Battlefield. And the glitches start immediately as the player cannot select any other star quests except for one. Now, again, for those of you that don't know, in each level, they want you to collect a certain number of stars.
Six.
Yeah. And each star, it's like, oh, climb the highest mountain and not the highest mountain will be a star. Another one would be like, kill the giant turtle and then you'll get a star for it.
Suck Yoshi's dick.
Yeah. Suck Yoshi's dick.
That's the very last one. And they actually have an attachment, an N64 attachment for that one. So yeah. It's like, it's a little bit more real.
It's the Yussie.
It was a very limited run, though.
Yeah.
You can only find it at the Lion's Den.
Kind of like the Power Glove. Anyway, Mike, keep...
super, super exclusive, like 100 pieces.
Jesus Christ.
So it's hard to make out what this select this star is that it won't let him, that it forces him to select, but I think it's just a normal star. I don't think it has any hidden text behind it. But once he selects it, another hex code pops up, and if you decipher it, it says, "A fatal error has occurred. Please reset the game system." The title card then pops back up, and it glitches the fuck out, and you hear the Japanese voice say, "The fun of Nintendo will be this year," and it goes over and over and over and over again to this creepy, fucked up Bowser image. The game then just randomly boots up, and it starts us off in the wet, dry world, which is like a world that, correct me if I'm wrong, because I haven't played the this level too much, but it's one where... The houses are kind of like floating in water, sort of, and like you can drain the water away, or you can make it flood.
Every star, the water level is at like a different level. There's like these greenish water striders. There's two separate sections for the whole level. It's a very frustrating level, if I'm being honest. But yeah,
any level including water in the 90s is frustrating.
Yeah. N64 games and water level is just a nightmare.
The only good thing to come out of them is the music for water levels. It's just
The
fucking Donkey Kong.
Yeah, I used to play the Donkey Kong underwater music at work to soothe me when I was doing repairs.
The water temple. The worst part. Ocarina of Time.
Yes.
So frustrating.
Dude, Kelly is playing through that right now for the first time ever. And I told her, I'm like, look, I will be that little brother for you that looks up shit in like the guidebook and tells you what to do. And she's like, are you serious? I would love to do that. So that's what we're doing. It's fucking great. Dude.
I'll send you my issue of Nintendo Power.
Hell yeah. Bring me right back to the 90s.
Yeah. So after all this, and you're at what dry world, the word help just pops up randomly on the screen, just like flash in an instant. And you hear what sounds like, it sounds like cutting noises or like a splashing noise. It also kind of sounded like in the game when you are changing the camera angle, it's like that.
It literally makes the shutter noise.
Yeah. Yes, thank you. Yeah, it's a shutter noise. It kind of sounds like that, but I can't tell if that's actually what it is because the camera is not moving. So to me, it kind of sounds like someone's splashing because it isn't a...
It is a shutter noise. Kind of when you're playing the game and you're trying to look like an actual direction that isn't where the camera is currently looking at, you had to like actually press a button to get it to like angle differently, and that's what you're hearing.
If I'm being honest, when I was watching this, it made me feel like an idiot when I was playing like the game as it came out when I was a kid for like camera controls, because I remember specifically not using that close up third person.
No, never, never.
But
I feel anytime watching Twitch streams, even if they're not like speedruns, I'm just like, man,
I'm an idiot with cameras. Like, fuck. Watching that, I was just like, holy shit, why was I fucking dickhead playing this game when I was 9 years old?
Yeah. Why was I bad at games at 9 years old? Weird. So after hearing the sound, Mario runs up to one of the buildings and he kicks it, and the whole world glitches for a second. Like everything just gets fucked up. And then the guy playing just kind of like stops, so you could tell, because Mario just kind of like sits there for a split second, just like, what the fuck? And then he kicks it again and the whole world just gets fucked up again. And it looks kind of like a decrepit city. Like, a deserted, like dystopian hell desert city.
Would you call it indescribable?
An indescribable horror. and then everything goes back to normal, like a moment after. And so everything's back to the normal wet, dry world. And the guy playing Mario turns around the corner and this music starts to ramp up. And then you see this dead Luigi sitting there, and it's not the same sprite as like Mario is. It's a more it's like, what do they do with Donkey Kong and Donkey Kong Adventure on the 64, where it's like a 3D sprite that they just kind of like stop motion animated to make it look more realistic. It kind of looked like to me.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah, it looked
like
that
how they do like the Garry's Mod movies or like the anything in like an engine.
Well, if you think about like Donkey Kong Country, and like the way that their sprites like actually like look like they're like a video of them moving.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But they're not.
Yeah.
There's like there's a name right. for that technique and I don't know what it's called.
Yeah, I don't either.
Like the old Batman games and stuff too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I totally forgot it. Okay. But
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But it looks like that. Like
Real
it's a little bit
media,
more
is that something I don't know. Continue.
Yeah, it's a little bit more detailed than what Mario looks like anyway. But once you see this dead Luigi, the screen cuts to black. And we get this distorted image of a crying toddler. And up in the top left corner of the image, you see this Mario / Wario head. It's hard to tell. But it's got no eyes and a very creepy smile. I'm pretty sure it's Wario because the mustache is more zigzaggy.
It is.
Yeah.
It actually, that thing that you just talked about has a name.
The Wario head.
It's just called the Wario apparition.
The Wario apparition. Ooh, we'll get to that later.
Most of these things are just called some description apparition.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, no, you're not wrong. But the only reason I make that distinction is because, like, this one thing goes beyond the topic we're talking about today. Like, it overflows into it. There's, like, two other ARGs that use it, and there's a couple other things that use this exact same, like,
and in other offshoot concept. Videos, yeah. Greenio's even using them.
Yeah. It's super creepy. I fucking love it.
It's a fun time. This whole thing is fun for me. I enjoy it thoroughly. Yeah. Underneath the crying kid in the picture is a bunch of N64 cartridges as well. There's like four or five of them there, I think. The image glitches away, and then we hear what sounds like Mario just crying out in pain. Or at least you think it's Mario right now. I don't think it actually is, but we'll get to that another time. The last video that I'm going to cover right now, this bad boy is labeled December 20th, 1995. That's weird, you might think. Michael, you just covered two from the year 1997. Why are you going back to 1995? Well, go over that, silly. Give us some time.
But
what this is
give us
is
time
commercial.
To forget to talk about it.
Yeah, give us time. We'll say we'll get back to it, and we never will, because that's what happens every single fucking week. So this is a commercial on Cartoon Network, and we're about to get into this show called Mighty Man and Yuck. And before we do that, here's a commercial for Mario 64, but not the Mario 64 that we recognize. This one is powered by the all-new Nintendo Ultra 64 video game console. It's so big and, oh, man, it's powerful.
It's ultra.
Oh, it's ultra. It's so strong.
It is ultra.
It's plus ultra. And
go beyond.
Go beyond. And some of the things in the game look different as well. Mario actually gets this power bar when he is going to ground pound some of the enemies, like the Thwomps. He also dives into the ocean, and instead of getting a health meter, it just says power 8. The font is also different from what we know from the Mario font as well. The narrator then goes on to talk about all the awesome levels and abilities in this game. And then we enter a doorway, and that is when the narrator says, "Will you play the game, or will it play you?" To which we see a very creepy Wario apparition head just floating around in the distance. He's just kind of chilling there. So as we see this creepy Wario head floating in the distance, we cut away to a test screen saying, "This is only a test. This is a broadcast alert. This station is conducting emergency tests. Don't be alarmed," yada, yada, all that stuff. And then it cuts, and that's the end of the video. Ironically enough, because tomorrow is when our phones are about to explode because the tests are going to go off.
Oh, yeah.
And they're putting the 5G into my ears.
Now, you mentioned these things, but, like, is this commercial or ad or whatever just an ad for, like, an early version of the game? Because the Nintendo Ultra 64 is what the Nintendo 64 was called in its early stages. Mm-hmm. And the differences in the interface that you pointed out, like the different font and stuff, like we talked about that earlier, how it matches with the beta versions of the game that we know. So like,
yep. But why would they make a commercial for a beta of a game? Bird Scooter.
This episode is brought to you by the Big Red Button Podcast.
Do you know what you'd do in a nuclear apocalypse?
Because we sure as quack don't.
See how our choices get us into trouble and back out again in this actual play podcast.
Big Red Button is for lovers of the Fallout franchise, choose your own adventures, and tabletop role-playing games rolled into one big audio drama.
Our band of stragglers is unraveling a mystery in the wasteland, and we're at the mercy of the roll of the dice.
So grab your Geiger counters, take your rat away, and subscribe to our new show, The Big Red Button.
I mean, they make commercials for or advertisements for stuff that hasn't come out yet all the time.
Oh, do they?
Yeah. Answer do for they? Everything, Matt.
Yeah. I mean, they announced and showed footage of Starfield like 3 or 4 years ago.
Oh,
remember the Watch Dogs controversy where they like whole fucking demo of Watch Dogs and then like 3 years later they released it and it ended up looking way worse.
Oh, they pulled a Cyberpunk?
Like it.
You mean like Starfield did?
They pulled a Cyberpunk.
I mean, all these games have like very similar stories, but Watch Dogs is really bad.
What is that? Red Critical? Is that the company
CD
that
CD Projekt Red?
CD Projekt Red. Yeah, they suck. They always do that. They make unfinished shit a lot.
CD Projekt Red was actually regarded as like one of the better developers and always releasing polished games until Cyberpunk destroyed their reputation.
Yeah, so. That'll happen. But that is the first three episodes of season one.
Juan.
Well, there are four more episodes of season one. So
Fuck out.
Whoa. I found them. GTFO. I went to YouTube. I clicked on the playlist and I found them. It was pretty difficult, but I pulled it off somehow. So the fourth episode in season one is called 12296. Sensing a trend here. So
catchy names.
Yeah. The tape in this video is actually like submitted by or was given to them, I guess, by a different YouTuber named Mario Nova 64. And this one's a lot longer than the first three episodes. The first three episodes are like 1 minute and some change. This one's about 5 minutes long. So there's some super funky shit that goes on in this one. So it opens up with just a video of Mario running around outside the castle in the courtyard area. And there's a message on the screen, though, that says, player two, no input, down in the corner. And this is an error message that you're not supposed to see in Super Mario 64, at least not one that I have ever seen. And so after a while, he finds a pipe on the wall in the castle, and he goes through this pipe, but it just takes him back outside of the castle. So then he runs around some more, and he eventually runs up to the fence that blocks off the moat in front of the castle and like glitches through it. Like clips through it and then falls into the water, and he swims around for a little bit, and then the screen gets all fucky and like goes like super high contrast and the water gets black, and then Mario gets teleported back onto the bridge in front of the castle. So he runs back out into the like courtyard area in front of the castle and jumps inside of the cannon. And the cannon is like it's an extra feature that you get at the end of the game in Super Mario 64, where if you have 120 stars, you can launch yourself on top of the castle. So he climbs in it and launches himself onto the castle, and he lands on the roof and slides down it. And when he does, he like falls through the roof into a small hallway. And he walks a little bit of the ways down the hallway, and he sees this thing on the ground, and I can't really actually make out exactly what it is, but he can interact with it, and it like pops up a text box. And it tells him to leave over and over again. Like, it just says, leave.
It looked like a dead Mario to me.
It looked like something like dead, but I couldn't tell what dead character it was supposed to be.
I think it is supposed to be Mario, and I'll touch into why later.
Okay. Well,
he'll touch on dead people.
I also thought it was something dead.
Touch some dead people for us.
But it tells him to leave over and over again. And then eventually he closes the text box and then just walks through the door next to him and continues down the hallway. And
ignoring this thing's warning.
Right. He's like, hey, fuck it. Whatever. This is probably fine. So eventually the whole screen starts getting darker and darker and darker. And then a bunch of text flashes up on the screen that says, get out. So to cut this a little bit shorter, he basically just ignores all these warnings and just keeps walking through hallways. And there's more hallways and they're different colors. And it's basically like this huge labyrinth within the castle. And at one point, he finds a sign that says, please walk quietly in the hallway. Do not awaken him. The exit is behind you. Exit while you can. And so Mario spins around, and the hallway goes completely dark behind him. And what do we see at the end of the hallway? None other than the giant fucking Wario face from earlier. So Mario turns around, and he just like, gets the fuck out of there. And he walks around in some more hallways, and eventually he ends up in like a really fucked up version of the courtyard area outside the castle. And it's like all orange and shit. The fence is missing around the moat. And so he jumps back into the water and starts swimming around and starts to swim down. But this time, the player completely loses control of Mario, and a second error message pops up on the screen that says, player one, no input. So it's like the controller got disconnected. And it just stays that way for a while until Mario eventually drowns to death. And text pops up on the screen that says, leave. And then we get an error message that is similar to the one that Mike mentioned before that's encoded, that is a hex to a shift cipher that says, ignorance is bliss. And then in the background, there's some Japanese audio, and it translates to, the fun of Nintendo has just begun. So the description of this video is supposedly...
Quick question for you. Did you notice in this video when Mario's when the player one thing gets disconnected? Did you notice how frantic the player was when they were trying to get it?
They're like smashing the fucking buttons and shit.
And then it slowly starts to peter out towards the end, almost like they're running out of air.
Like the real life person is running out of air.
It all, to me anyway, when I saw this one, it seemed like they were like frantic at first, almost like you would be when you're drowning, and then you slowly run out of energy.
Yeah.
And then there were no button presses anymore towards the end. I don't know
if
that was
a thing.
Or it
could just be like giving up, like fuck it, I guess this is just what it is.
Yeah, that. I don't know if this was
fucking water levels.
Yeah. Decision. Fuck this. That's all. I just wanted to point that out.
So the description of this video says, supposedly this is footage cut from a stolen beta cartridge intended for E3 96. Note the player 2 input suggests that a two-player mode is still being functional in the game state at the time. Every copy of Super Mario 64 is personalized. So, moving on. The next video in the series is 1:15:95. And this is a mixture, it's similar to like the advertisement material from one of the previous videos, but it's a mixture of what appears to be like some very old beta Mario 64 footage mixed together with some images of a script for a commercial. And so this script is clearly meant to be an advertisement, like a Nintendo Power advertisement for Mario 64. And it details a mobster from Sega and Sony, and they're like kidnapping an employee from Nintendo and holding them hostage and trying to interrogate them to figure out what Nintendo's secret is. And they just keep talking about this secret that Nintendo has that they want this employee to tell them. But there are also some notes that are written on the script by like either an editor or an executive or something who is reviewing the script. And they have notes on some things that are like, this sounds too cheesy. You need to be more specific about this. But the last page is completely covered with a post-it note, and it says, shelf the video. The game got delayed. So after that happens, we get some footage, like I mentioned, of a beta build of Mario 64. And it goes through a few things that are supposed to be in the game. And one of those things is Cold Crevice, which is a rumored area that was not actually in Mario 64, inside Cool Cool Mountain, which is the like obviously the best fucking level
in the game.
Is that
the one where you drop the penguin off the cliff?
The penguin it's where you drop the penguin and then you slide. You race the penguin mom down the mountain. Yeah. Absolutely. Best level in the game. So the video glitches out when it gets to a section that says demonstrate fourth floor. And this is alluding to a fourth floor of the castle, which the Super Mario 64 that we have is only three floors, the castle. So then we get another page of the script that has another post-it note on it that says, stop sending these scripts. The game is delayed. And behind
someone's
it,
just tired
fucking
of
stop
shit.
It.
Like, tired
real
of this
quick.
Shit.
in the IRL iceberg, the fourth floor is an iceberg.
Yeah,
point.
It's one of the iceberg hints. It's kind of down there, but
yeah,
we're slowly moving our way down.
There are allusions to a lot of things that are in that iceberg that pop up throughout this.
Oh yeah,
like the second player thing from the last video. There's a conspiracy theory that Luigi was supposed to be in. Well, I guess there was a really beta build where Luigi may have been in the game, but
in the DS like port version where you can play 64, you can play as Luigi in that one too.
But there's a conspiracy theory that like Luigi is actually in the game somewhere. You just have to figure out where.
Oh shit!
Like, whatever. So it's L is real. Is the
L is real for sure?
L is real
on the fountain.
I'll take
the
potato.
Plaque.
Chip.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
we all know
potato chip, and I eat it.
In many ways.
So stop sending these scripts. The game's delayed. So behind this post-it note, you can see parts of some words, and they say demonstrate. So this is something Asian A dot something.
Was he all with Asians?
TION, not Asian. Jeez, Mike, can you not temper your racism for one episode?
I know.
For one episode, man.
One episode.
Jeez. That's all we need. Just one episode.
We're going to get fucking monetized and then demonetized so quickly.
So fast.
I've lost my place in my notes. We're in a dark hallway, and there's a Bowser painting in the back. And so suddenly, a figure of Mario pops up into the frame, but he has no eyeballs. And some text pops up over his face, and it says, "I'm not having fun." Like, I'm not having fun reading my own notes right now. So then we see a sequence of four black and white screenshots, and we see some text that says, "Find the way to the fourth. End this once and for all. It's time to wake up." So we get some more canceled promotion tape that would have been given out. And so the description of this video says, "This is a canceled promotion tape that would have been given out by Nintendo Power, and had the game released in December 1995 like it was planned to, none of the live action segments were filmed, and it seems that even the scripting session had to be cut short by the game's delay. Some of these ideas, as you may have noticed, were reused in the Star Fox 64 promotion VHS. Every copy of Super Mario 64 is personalized." So
that keeps coming up.
It does. It's almost like that's a central theme of this entire thing.
Well, they didn't have the internet back then, so they really had to make some sort of selling point. They still had the Xanadu hyperlink project.
You had to make infinite content.
Hell yeah.
Yes.
When you couldn't pawn it off onto people in their bedrooms.
Are we going to do an overview of the Xanadu hyperlink project? Because I feel like we've referenced it enough to...
We should.
We have to say what it is at some point. Maybe not right now. It's a whole other episode. But
probably. If this podcast keeps going...
It'll just turn into a random an hour of just tech.
I love the vote of confidence there, Matt. I love it.
What? Because I said if
this podcast keeps going, if we manage to stay afloat by the grace of God and the seat of our goddamn underpants, this weekend we'll be telling.
Never been stronger, boys.
Hell yeah,
stonks.
big stonks are happening.
Absolutely.
Also, Doug and I are. Are playing the Jernine drinking game. Anytime Jernine says to take a drink, we do that.
That sounds like the best drinking game. Anyway, moving on to 9/14/96. So the description of this video reads, "Yoshi's short cameo at the end of Super Mario 64 left many confused, seeing as he seemingly ends his life at the end of his dialogue. Normally, he is nowhere to be found, though this footage shows a cut event that was somehow activated, presumably by the personalization AI." Hey, that's what the Asian in Mike's favorite page in the script was. "Should this event be triggered, the game will enter region lock mode, and there's nothing that can be done to revert it back to its original state. Every copy of Super Mario 64 is personalized." So what it's referencing as... God damn it.
You know why I'm pressing that.
No, I heard it. Heard it.
Perfect.
So what it's referencing with Yoshi ending his life at the end of Super Mario 64 is when you... at the end of the game, if you launch yourself onto the roof, you can talk to Yoshi. And after you talk to him, he just like fucking yeets himself off the roof.
Yep. So, straight on Alives.
He goes, yeah. Good job. You did a good job with the game. Bye.
Yeah, bye. So
is that all Yoshi does? Like, that's yeah. the only context of Yoshi?
You can't use him. Like, you just talk to him for 4 seconds after you get 120 stars.
And then you get a flying hat.
Right. Yeah. Thanks, for the top Yoshi. Of the castle, so you can fly around the outdoor yeah. level.
Pretty much. So this video shows that interaction with Yoshi, but it's slightly different. So it starts off with somebody trying to start the game, but they're having trouble doing it. And there's an error message that pops up on the screen that says that translates to leave us. And then they do eventually get the video, the game started. So we go into that interaction with Yoshi, and the dialogue that we have with Yoshi is mostly the same, but it's a little bit different at the end. And so Yoshi normally mentions that he's been waiting on Mario. But in this part, he also tells Mario that, you know, they said they were waiting for you too, but they weren't as patient as I was. My task is done here. Go finish yours. And then he yeets himself off the roof again. And then the game gets all fucked up and like the roof turns black. And there's an error that pops up on the screen about the game being region locked and that you need to put in a cartridge for the right region, which is interesting because the N64 didn't actually have region locking. It had physical region locking where there was like plastic tabs that kept you from sticking the wrong cartridge in. But as far as I'm yep. aware, there was no software region locking no. of any kind. So
there was not.
But anyway, after that screen, the screen goes black, and then we get another message that says, "You don't ever listen, do you?" And then it fades back in, and Mario's standing underneath a light, and then another message appears that says, "We were given life, we chose to rest, and we were forced to linger." And then Luigi and Peach like fade in the background behind him, and then there's a couple more messages, and it says, "It isn't fair, but they didn't care." And then the tape ends, and there's a black screen with one final message that says, "Do you?" So now we rock on back to something that is definitely not that. Hold on. I wrote 97, and there's no month 97. All right, 9/29/95. Picture of a computer monitor. That's what we got now. So this is actually like a picture of a computer monitor, and it's a development system with a game on it. And this is actually, here's where I'm going to learn you something else. It's an SGI indie workstation, which is the type of computers that they used as development systems for the Nintendo 64, because it was one of the first personal computers that you could buy with a 64-bit processor in it, which is why the Nintendo 64 is called the Nintendo 64.
It's called the N64.
Yeah. So
you are learning
that explains
stuff.
Why the Nintendo 32 was called the Nintendo 32, because it was 32-bit.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. And then the Super Nintendo 16 is, you know, 16-bit.
And the Atari was just the Atari 1.
Because it was 1-bit.
1-bit.
It was only...
Just, it was on, it was, the screen was on or it was off. That was all you got.
That's it? Yeah.
It was just a box that just flashed in your face.
God, we are fucking nerdy. Holy shit. Anyway, keep going.
Anyhow, so I like this detail about this series. I was happy about this.
That's very
anyway,
fun.
So somebody punches something into a command line on the screen, and the game loads up, and we get footage of what is allegedly the fourth floor itself. So everything looks a little bit janky. It's mostly just some hallways with like a tile floor and some blue and orange walls. And Mario just kind of walks around for a while, and there's some boos that are floating around, and he kills one of them, and then he ends up in a kitchen, and there's a cake in the kitchen, and the cake is actually a reference to the end of Mario 64 where Peach offers...
Portal?
Use some cake.
Well, Portal may be a reference to this game. I was thinking about that earlier.
Portal.
Actually.
I'm sure...
But anyhow...
I'm sure there's an answer for it later, but I notice a common thing in all these videos. He always kills the boos. He like goes out
That's
of his way.
That's because Mario's an alcoholic.
Bravo. Bravo.
Thank you.
Me and Jason both like paused and we're like, wait, what? He's like, it always kills the boos. And we're like,
as in every video where there's boos, he goes out of his way to kill at least one of them.
He always do be punching a boo in the face.
I wonder if that's a thing for something. We'll see.
It might be. Might be.
I mean, do you not fight all the enemies in a game?
No, this honestly, I get what you're saying, Mike. This it seemed malicious.
Because some womps show up later and he doesn't even fuck with them. He just runs around.
Can you kill a womp though?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you have to ground pound him, I guess. Yeah, that's fair.
But seriously, he goes out of his way. Like he's unnecessarily hostile towards the booze.
That's what it is. They fall on their face and you gotta ground pound them in the back.
you gotta pound that ass.
You gotta pound them in the back.
Yep.
Maybe he's afraid of ghosts. Anyhow.
Back shots.
Anyways.
Oh my fucking God, Mike. Anyway, there's a kitchen. Most of the floor is completely abandoned. Eventually, Mario finds Toad. And Toad is like, Mario, what's up? How'd you get up here so quick? And then he says, did you find all the stars? Aw, man, I can't believe they didn't tell me. Oh, well, it's pretty peaceful up here. Make yourself at home. And so he walks onto the balcony that's next to Toad, and a screen pops up that says, the statue. And so he walks around some more, and he finds a statue. And when he looks at it, another screen pops up. It turns black, and it says, go to the pipe, reach the core, destroy it. So he wanders around the floor.
Which statue was that?
Huh?
What was the statue? Do you remember?
The statue, it's like a little silver thing. I don't actually know what it was.
It kind of looked like a little cup.
Okay, I know what you're talking about.
Like, it actually literally just looked like a little, trophy.
Okay. Yeah.
Sorry.
I didn't know if it had any significance or not. Yeah, it just looks like a...
I don't remember it in the actual game, but it
I think Doug might know why I'm asking. Okay. Although, honestly, you might not. It might be...
It's because it ties into fucking...
We'll get there.
Okay. No, I was going to say, it ties into Mr. Manicore's, fucking...
Oh, I don't know. I actually know that.
Cross you air have, or fucking it. Analog horror.
You have
pollination.
Fantastic. Monument Mythos.
Oh yeah. Oh. Okay.
Sir.
Keep going, Matt. Keep going, Matt.
I'm trying.
I know. It's our fault.
Between Janina's, my notes and you guys.
Janina's fucking Jason up right now.
She really is. Doug and I are playing a drinking game that anytime that Janine tells us to drink, we do. And
yeah, you told us that maybe 10
it's
minutes
not going
ago.
Well.
Right? That's how bad it's
See,
going.
That's how I know Janine is fucking Jason up right now.
So anyhow, Mario needs to go to the fucking pipe. He needs to reach the core. He needs to destroy it. So he wanders around the floor some more, and the music in the background is getting slower and slower and slower, and he jumps into a pipe. And there's some more booze, and there's some womps, like I mentioned. And eventually, he finds a wall that has a section in it where the texture is different and kind of fucked up, and he jumps through it, and he ends up in a room, a small room, and it looks super unfinished. And inside the middle of this room, there's a cube floating. And he walks up to it, and the messages tell him to destroy it. So Mario, punches the shit out of the box, and then messages start popping up that say, leave. It's all over. So more messages are, popping, or, images are popping up on the screen. It's, super fucking flashy. There's a bunch of static and shit. And then we see images of Mario, and then we see Luigi's dead body, as it appeared earlier in one of Mike's videos. And then we see Yoshi's body, and then we see a bunch more static and shit popping up. Then there's some horrible screaming in the background, and then outside of the game, in the background of the video, you can hear a thud, and it sounds like someone falling over onto the floor.
That's no good.
Yeah, no, that's not good. That's not good.
Highly, highly, highly recommend keeping this whole thing in mind right now.
Oh yeah, 100%. This is a big moment for this.
Especially the bit about Mr. Manicore and the Janine drinking game. Very impressive.
Janine drinking.
Those are the most important.
The tie-in. That's why I said fucking twice. Monument Mythos.
Yep.
Makes way more sense later.
Yep.
So
then
we'll tie it up.
Then there's a black and white error screen that's a system error. And then after that, a screen pops up, and it's a painting almost. It's a framed picture of Mario in the foreground, and he's facing away, and it kind of looks like he's in heaven. He's on top of some clouds or some shit, and he's looking at Luigi and Peach, who are standing there greeting him. It's kind of like they're greeting him at the pearly gates. And that is the end of season one.
Something fucked up happened.
Something fucked up did fuck.
Do you think they got renewed for season two?
I think they did, Mike. I do.
But on a different network, like Hulu or something.
Yeah. Well, FX picked them up this time. So.
Did they get enough backers on GoFundMe?
Yeah, exactly. No, I think
enough
three executives
to Comcast
rolled some dice real quick, and they decided what this was going to be about. No. So season two, it begins with a video called Prologue, aptly named. It's about 6 minutes long, and in the description, this is what we see. Unauthorized amateur footage of two previously unseen areas of the Space World 1995 build of Super Mario 64 captured on the show floor of the event. Curiously, the presence of English in-game text suggests that it may have been misplaced development cartridge intended for a showcase in the West, which leads me to believe this is the English release versus the Japanese. At the end of this, we get a very simple statement. Nintendo's fun is eternal. So the actual video, we essentially get a welcome to Wonderland, if you will. You start it up, and as soon as Mario spawns, you get this text that says, "Welcome to Wonderland. Welcome to Mario Wonderland. If you're the adventurous sort, pay a visit to the castle ahead." And whoever's controlling Mario then proceeds to enter the castle, and a text box shows up saying, "This castle is exclusive to the show. It's connected to a variety of worlds, so open the doors ahead and get adventuring." And after that, the player tries to enter a painting, but can't. And there's a sign near said painting. This is one of the very basic levels from Mario 64. There's a sign that says, "To do, implement painting warp." So very clearly, this is a very early build of Mario 64, where all the bugs have not been worked through. People have not completed levels super early.
It's a rough draft.
Basically, rough draft. Draft one. The player then explores the castle using Mario until they enter this door. And instead of... So, like, if anyone's played Mario 64, you know that levels exist within paint.
No, nobody's played it.
Huh, weird.
At least a quarter of us haven't.
At least a quarter of us. So this is actually... Mario enters a doorway, and there's a menu that asks them to select a stage. And it says continue, and it says number one, River Mountain, and then 2, 3, and 4 are all just fucking blank. Then it says back. The player selects the River Mountain one, and essentially it's very similar to like the Ba-Bomb Battlefield, like the level one of Super Mario 64. It's just, it's a little different. There's no, like, when you get to that hill portion where the cannonballs are rolling down the actual mountain, there's this whole like cliff and bluff section. There's a peak on the mountain. There's some very distinct differences in this actual version. Once you get there, if you go over this river, you essentially get to this like underground entrance area. And it's full of Ba-Bombs that have gone crazy. And then you find this yellow Ba-Bomb buddy. If you guys remember, if you have played, so everyone here excluding Mike, if you remember the Ba-Bomb buddies, there's these little red Ba-Bombs that open up cannons in whatever level you're on. This one's yellow and it looks kind of angry. And it essentially says that the Ba-Bombs in the town have gone crazy. And the only way to fix this is to flood the town. So, essentially, Mario ends up finding a way to climb up to like this ledge that's over the town with this crystal. He presses the crystal. As soon as he walks through it, the water level rises. Once that happens, you can get yourself over to this big switch. It's a big yellow switch. So Mario jumps on it. You get the switch noise. And the game just glitches the fuck out. And you see this like faceless, like it's Mario, but it's Mario without textures on his face.
Mario's apparition?
Yeah. We'll call it Mario's apparition from here on out, I think.
Wow. Original.
So after this happens, you get a bunch of glitches. You see a crash handler, which is essentially like the text you see after a game or a program crashes, and then the video ends. After this, we get another video called Snow Level Playtest. And this one's about 7 minutes long. In the description, we get, it says, video shot by former playtester at Nintendo, presumably for friend to see. The level shown seems to be a scrapped third snowy level seen here replacing the Shifting Sandland. You guys remember Shifting Sandland? It was that, like, hidden
wasn't
level
that,
in the basement.
Wasn't
that a D&D podcast? Yeah,
you know, I think it's also a D&D podcast that
we gave up on about
ended,
2 years ago.
It ended way too quickly, and I'd love to see it come back, but we'll talk to the people that are in charge of that, and we'll see what they can do.
It's all
I think they
full
are
circle.
Canceled.
I think they might have. So, this brought me back, because Shifting Sandland was one of the hardest levels, in my opinion, with like all the different ways to die. This
it's
is reskinned.
Infuriating.
It's infuriating is what it is. Inside the pyramid, you're fine, but outside, you can go fuck yourself. But this is actually like this is a beta test for that level that was, it was snow themed. Apparently, there were three different, God damn it, Janine. God damn it.
That's my mother.
So this was a sand level, and it was skinned as a snow level. It was very strange to watch, especially for me, because again, I struggled so hard with the sand level. And again, at the end of this description, we get the catchphrase, I'm guessing, for this whole season, which is Nintendo's fun is eternal. This video is all about a playtester who is tasked with looking for like collision problems within this level. They do find one on like this parapet that's just kind of sticking out. They find the collision. They say this might be frustrating. And eventually they find this this entrance to a basement level. It's this warp zone, and it's almost like the structure that existed. It's supposed to be the pyramid in the Shifting Sandland, but it's a replacement, and it's called Bowser's Outpost, apparently. The star name is called Atop Bowser's Outpost. So they climb this tower. Oh, right. I'm so sorry. You do see the title of this level. It's called Chromaland or Chroma Tundra. You find, basically, you enter this area. You see some collision happen. You find a pipe covered in boxes. You enter this weird level, and this guy is playing it. And all of a sudden, you get an interruption from somebody entering this man's, like, work office. You learn this guy's at work and he's playtesting this. Somebody enters and he goes, "Hold, are you going to the New Year's Eve party? Wait, are you recording this?" And he goes, "No, I'm not recording this. Also, I'm
a liar."
Sure. Sure. Yeah. 100% being a liar. And he talks about this New Year's Eve party. He comes back later and he asks about a guy named Jim who might have stolen a cartridge. The guy that we're watching doesn't know anything about that.
Can never trust a gym.
Never trust a gym.
You can't.
So anyway, the tester navigates the rest of the level after dying once. As he does, he gets respawned, and he eventually gets to the star up atop the outpost, and that is the end of this video.
Well,
next one we get is called Deeper Cavern. It's, again, just about 7 minutes long, and this one takes place in the Hazy Maze Cave in Mario 64. I remember this one because it took me fucking forever as a child to figure out that you had to ground pound the back of that goddamn swimming Nessie in the bottom of this level to get the star, but it's got a special place of frustration in my
monster.
Heart. Yeah.
All those things sound fucked up.
Yeah, you know what? That's not a great sentence. We'll just skip right past.
You got to give the underwater Nessie back shot. To get a golden star.
Yeah, exactly. See, Matt gets it. So essentially, one of the things that most veterans of this game know is if you go to this area, you can either get a star or you can navigate away towards the side of this cavern to go to the Metal Hat unlock area, which unlocks a giant portion of the game. So this man, whoever's playtesting, does go end up going to the Metal Hat unlock area. Now, If you've played Mario 64, you know that the metal unlock area is like this raging river that you have to run up because you have a metal hat, and then you press the metal switch, and then you're good. It's like a 10-second level. It's super easy. In this one, they spawn in like this blue cavern that's got like this lake of blue lava. It's not the same, and it looks way more difficult. So whoever's the playtester ends up navigating this, and he's explaining what's happening, saying like, this is what's coming out. Obviously very secretive, because he just told somebody else who works for Nintendo that, oh no, I'm not recording this. So he makes his way to this cave. There's a warning sign at the front, but he enters anyway. It essentially leads him to the metal switch unlock cap. And after this, he jumps over another lake of lava and finds another cave within this area. Now, he enters it, and it shows almost like the inside of the castle. There's this red carpet, there's this hallway, and if you keep following the red carpet, there's just darkness. And eventually the red carpet disappears, and you see a figure in like the distance. As you get closer to it, you realize that this is like a Mario sprite. So you're essentially coming up on yourself. As Mario approaches himself, the screen gradually flashes in and out before cutting out completely, with some text later appearing reading the following. You're back. Have you not learned your lesson? After this, Mario ends up visiting Silent Fucking Hill. He's spawned back outside the castle, but there's this white, weird fog everywhere.
And Pyramid Head shows up.
And Pyramid Head shows up and rips his skin off and throws it down. No, that doesn't happen. But there's no bridge across the entrance of the castle. And so effectively what has to happen is jumps in the water, and where the water is drained. He goes in like the basement entrance, and there's a room that he ends up in that's essentially has four doors in it. Three of them have X's on it. One of them is clear, and there's a set of double doors with a key, and there's a set of double doors he came in through. So there's a sign in the center that says, four doors, four challenges. Will you cower in fear and let darkness consume you, or will you face it and uncover the castle's true form? Choose wisely. He tries some doors, but the only one that works is the one without the X. As he enters, video fades to black, and we are done with this video. The next one is promo show, and this one is about 14 minutes long.
I think this might be my favorite video.
This is such a good video. I loved this one.
Well done.
Shut the fuck up, Mike.
It is done. I actually think, so this one starts, it shows like this, it's like a test screen, and it shows Nintendo Mania Pilot Draft 5. Nintendo Mania, its logo shows up on the screen, the show starts. And then we get a fun little segment with Mario trying to be an announcer. It's like the shitty 2.5D animation. There's like a CRT TV on his desk, and he's talking
like
about
your alcoholic stepfather version of Mario.
I love his voice.
Like,
hey,
how's it going, everybody?
It's me, Mario. Do you guys want to hear what this is like? Because this is what Mario says to us. Here we go.
Hey, my Zanos. My name's Mario. Well, you probably knew that already. Now, you may be wondering, what am I doing on your TV screen? Now, let me ask you this. What are you, a cop? I'm just joshing with you. I'm here to host this brand new show, Nintendo Mania, where we'll be looking over the hottest new video game releases. The Nintendo ones, I mean. You're not going to see that blue mouse guy here.
So, there's more to it, but
who knew Ripsaw and Mario were the same person?
He sounds like, who's that porn star from like the 70s?
Ron Jeremy.
He sounds like what I think Ron Jeremy sounds like.
He's got the same mustache, too.
He's got the same stash, the same height. Like, it's all right there.
Hey, it's me, Mario, the green lizard from Mario.
But it's just super, it's very Super Mario Brothers movie from the 90s. Like, it's it's not great, but this
and
is
it's
what we
me,
get from
John
that.
Leguizamo.
Yes, exactly. So essentially, he basically goes on to say
he has... didn't get Chris Pratt.
Oh God!
Have you guys seen the new, yes, new Mario movie? You have. No. How did we all think about it?
It was fine. It was.
It's good when you're high. I will say that. Wowie zowie! So after this very disturbing audio from New York / Brooklyn Mario, we see that he's hosting his own talk show. And after this happens, he essentially says, I'm too busy hosting this show. So we're going to have to check in on my little brother, Luigi. Check it out. And so we go to a save file screen on Mario 64. And whoever's there enters the code LLRR. And then the right yellow arrow button 4 times, and a sound sample with Luigi pops up. And that's how you know the code worked, apparently. So now, after choosing the save file, the player model is now Luigi. As he runs around, he notices that most of the doors in the castle are like bricked over that he can't enter.
Bless you. Oh,
are you done, Doug?
We all do it, all right.
So after Luigi runs around, he sees most of these areas are like bricked off. He gets frustrated, so he starts ground pounding. And he ground pounds that center area. If you've played Mario 64, it's the area where you stand in, you look upwards, and you get to the flying cap. Luigi ground pounds that and finds a new like sub-basement level of the castle. After he enters that, it fades to black and he reappears in the same lobby that Mario was in for the deeper cavern video, where he sees the red X's on the doors, saying that there's only one way to go. You have to solve these puzzles, et cetera, et cetera. He runs around. He notices that most of the doors are bricked over, but he does find one that's not. And he goes through it, and upon exiting this door, he finds himself in like this maze, and it's lined with brick walls. It's outside the castle. It's almost like a courtyard area, and it reminds me of the area where you would get to the haunted house level with the ghosts. And he sees a.
Is it Luigi's mansion?
It honestly, it might be the entrance to Luigi's mansion.
I'm not a, or two. Game fucking slaps.
Oh, hell yeah. Kelly and I played the shit out of the first two anyway. But anyway, so he goes through and he goes to this maze and he finds red coins and he gets all the way up to number 7. And the 8th one is actually sitting atop. If you guys remember playing Mario 64, Mike, I'm so sorry that you're excluded here. I thought more of these would land with you, but I guess not.
I understand references.
Outside in the courtyard, the way to get to Boo's Castle is you kill a ghost.
And it's got a
Where
horrible
is Boo's
thing
Castle
in
on a map? Can you give me directions, please?
You have to go to the courtyard of Peach's Castle and find a ghost that's holding a bird cage, and then you enter the bird cage.
Just Google Benny's.
Yeah, there you
They'll
go.
They'll take you to Boo's Castle.
So in the same area where we would normally get to Boo's Castle or Boo's Haunted House or whatever the fuck it's called, there's this statue. Now in the game that we all remember, there is the statue with a stone star atop it. But in this one, that's where the 8th red coin is. So Luigi picks it up and he sees the star pops up and it's back in the maze. He goes and he grabs it. Great. Awesome.
I'm just glad that Doug finally caught on to like the pun, like the I was trying to make. So we're good. We're good. Please continue, Jason.
No, that's fine.
It's
Doug, always,
it's
about...
always in fucking Jason's parts where I just start losing
Why
my
is
shit.
It the three of us just being shitheads while Jason's trying to explain something.
The funny thing is, I just talked to Doug about this. Whenever I'm talking, I literally like tunnel vision it. Like I block you fucking three clowns out of it.
That's probably and why it works so well.
That's probably exactly why.
It's exactly like that meme I made a long time ago.
So anyway, Luigi collects the star, and we cut back to the Mario at the announcer desk, and he goes, "Like what?" Sorry, I should do the actual like New York, shouldn't I? Like what you're seeing so far.
No,
great.
Don't do that.
don't do that.
We'll wait for Luigi to catch his breath.
You sound like you're outside of like a school with nothing but a trench coat on.
That hey, might be where this was recorded.
You want some Smarties? Yeah, penis.
We'll
is
wait
too
for
small.
Luigi. We'll wait for Luigi to catch his breath for a second before checking back in. After that's read off, the footage cuts to a commercial break, and it cuts back to a black screen. It says, "Insert commercials here." Almost like they were prepping for it. The show then resumes. It's kind of glitched graphically. That's actually pretty important later, and it's a very loose connection, so hold on to that. But essentially, what happens is that we go back to Luigi. Mario cuts back saying, let's check back in with Luigi. Welcome back to Nintendo Mania. He's getting tired, so we should probably cheer him on, right? Cool. So we go back to Luigi in the brick maze area that was outside that he was just in. But instead of it actually being walls now, it's all just flowers. He can run around wherever he wants, and he does so. He eventually gets back to the castle wall, and he sees a couple of bricks he can jump up. And he finds this secret area behind one of the yellow vents in front of the castle, and there's a tube there. So he goes in there. It leads him to this like basement area. There's a toad sitting there. There's like this pool of water, and he swims around for a bit, and he goes and he talks to the toad. And toad says, I'd love to take a swim, but I'm scared of how deep the pool is. And that tunnel, I shudder just thinking about it. I wonder what, where it leads to. Well, you're not far off. Luigi ends the conversation and he goes through the tunnel that Toad was talking about how scared he was earlier. We cut back to Mario at the desk for like broadcasting, and he's simply like, it looks like he's buffering. It like
T-posing.
It looks like he literally is just sitting there, blank face, just staring straight ahead. No words.
He almost
said.
Seems concerned.
He looks very concerned about what's happening. Like almost like there was no commentary he could say because of how concerned he was. So we go back to Luigi, who is now in an underwater version of the castle. Most of the passages that he finds are blocked off, and he's losing life pretty fucking quickly. He swims around frantically. He finds some coins to replenish his life, and he keeps exploring, and eventually he realizes he's just fucking trapped. And he gets back to, like, the main basement level of the castle, and he drowns. He gets trapped, and he dies. Footage cuts back to an extremely fucked up version of Mario, and a man in the background essentially repeating the Japanese translation of the phrase, Nintendo's fun is infinite, over and over and over again. And eventually, we cut back to, like, a storytelling scene almost. It shows the mount for the statue outside in the courtyard where we found the 8th gold coin or the 8th red coin to get the star. When that happens, we see it basically get replaced with the stone star that we know as something called the Eternal Star, sitting outside in the courtyard. And that's the thing that we all know. Everyone who's played Mario 64 knows that stone statue. And apparently this is how it came about. But with that, that is the end of the video titled Promo Show. Doug, what do you got for us?
All right, so
the
next video we have is called Genesis. And if you don't know the definition of Genesis, the definition is the origin or mode of formation of something.
Yes.
So this video is 8 minutes and 54 seconds, which if you haven't noticed, in the second season we get a bunch of longer episodes.
Yeah, it went from like 2 minutes to like 8, and then there's like a 30-minute video.
Yeah, a bunch of the
that's
a bunch
I
of
like
the
season one so much. It's like the longest that's what, longest video, 6 minutes long. I'm like,
yeah.
Bet.
Yeah. Digestible.
Yeah, for the guy who picked their topics last, I got stuck with all the long videos. So
I did that on purpose.
That is what happens.
That is definitely what happened. Anyways, so Genesis, as the name says, the content of these tapes are supposedly, you know, showing the genesis of all of the Super Mario 64 phenomena that are started by the personalization AI, which if you've been listening along, you know that that personalization AI is something that has been semi-writing this video game along with the developers as we've been going along.
It's been vaguely referenced.
Which we will kind of go over a little further.
Yes.
I will go over.
You will go
fairly
over all
shortly.
Of it.
So the video starts showing a workspace computer and it has some apps open. And then one of those apps is the game Ultra Mario, which is
God
the first name of Super Mario 64.
Ultra Mario 64.
Why are you damn it-ing, my dude? My guy, dude.
Are you still recording your audio?
No. I lost the game.
No, don't.
Oh,
fucking
no.
Fucking hell, man.
And now we all lost the game.
Did you have to share?
I think that's one of the rules, actually.
And
you
know,
if you lose, you have to make somebody else.
Well,
and now
you got us all.
So have all of you.
Now it's our problem, I guess.
That's a lot of people. Anyways, so this first footage was recorded on April 3rd of 1995. And immediately after the video starts, Jim, who we've seen a whole bunch, is documenting the earliest build of Super Mario 64. We start with log 1. Now, you're probably asking yourself, why is one of the last videos in season 2 starting with log 1? Well, shut the fuck up. We'll get there. All right. So Mario starts moving, being able to walk and jump. We see his animations are a little lagged and kind of primitive at this point. And Jim, still, you know, talking about the game, shows that the wall jump is, you know, something that you can do in parts of the course. And when he completes the level, the footage kind of cuts out and then starts again on another date. And we get a new date of May 9th, 1995. And this footage starts with the same computer on another workspace. And he has a debug menu up at this point. And the name of the game, it's got the name of the game and you see a course selection. Now, Jim selects a course called Grass, and he starts saying that the game needed to be more open. So his team and he basically made more comprehensive levels and higher levels of interaction, and they added enemies and coins, and they basically improvised the HUD and just all of the Mario animations that they could. So they took everything and they were like, we're going to make it better.
So they made it 3D versus like the traditional.
They're going to take it.
2D.
Yeah, and they had to, you know, if Mario 64 is the end name that we get, obviously there's going to be a lot of general updates being made while they're going through it. So
you're gonna take it?
Basically
make everyone's mouth wider.
Wider.
Happier.
Way more open.
Way more open.
So
can we just have a watch party for that at some point? Like, it just has to happen.
I would love
it's
to.
It's five
own,
minutes of our month. Like,
I really need to get The Whitest Kids You Know on DVD somehow.
Yeah.
Just somewhere, bootleg. I don't give a shit. Just some, give me those things.
Rest in peace,
DVD.
Trevor Moore.
But anyway, so we see some gameplay, and after Mario, or Jim, I guess, collects all of a circle of coins, someone called Bill enters the room and he starts talking to Jim, telling him that he needs to add a boss that he considers original. And Bill says that he thinks that adding a floating Wario head as a boss, which Jim ends up finding ridiculous, would be extremely hard to do.
Real quick. This is the. Go ahead, Mike.
I said that a floating Wario head, really? That's so unrealistic. He's going to fight a turtle dragon and he's a plumber. Throwing him off a cliffside. Come on, be realistic,
right.
Bill.
Come on.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing. Jim knows that the hardware isn't sophisticated enough to make these things happen.
Correct.
He's a smart boyo,
now,
as Mike might put it.
I want to say, if you go and check out Greenio's other videos, you will see other depictions of this Wario. As I said earlier, the Wario apparition. And that's what we're talking about right now.
So that being said, basically Jim is like, nah, you're fucking stupid. And Bill goes, okay. I don't agree with you, but can you maybe add this as like a start screen, potentially, like a title screen?
Maybe.
Which is what we see Mario's big dumbass head as the title screen,
yep.
As we know and love.
Inspiration.
But basically, Jim stops documenting the stage that he's on and the footage cuts again. And before it continues, we hit June 20th, 1995. So the footage starts in the same workspace that appeared in the beginning with a better build than the last one. We get a log 64 now. So we've hit that Nintendo 64, Log 64 version of the game, right?
He even mentions so he's like HUD, Log 64 on Mario 64. Ha ha ha. Like he knows.
Yeah, right. Like he knows. He knows what he's doing.
Hey man,
if you said the fucking thing.
If you're doing that job, you find anything that you can to hang on to for happiness. Like that game testing. Who? Most people think that would be a great job. I don't agree.
Yeah,
like,
there's
that'd be awful.
It would probably be mind numbing. Like,
mm-hmm. Oh God,
oh God, yeah.
You're just running into every section of every wall and every level. You're just trying to find the glitches. Like, no, I want to play the game. I want to know.
I picked
the
up this rock. And I don't care which floor.
I don't care which wall doesn't work. I like, fuck you. Just tell me a story.
Yeah, right. All right. So, long story short, we see a bunch of improved like graphics and just gameplay and all that shit. And the castle's finally added into the game. And Jim starts to control Mario and explains now that it is possible to swim if you want. And you see him enter the moat around the castle, and he finds a hole to enter the castle. And then again, fucking Bill interrupts and tells fucking Jim Bill. That he has to improve the game and make further updates on it. And Jim gets fucking pissed.
He freaks out.
Jim is pissed. And basically he's like, yo,
he kicks in the door. He's just like, we got to scrap it all. We got to get rid of it, everything. Yeah.
Dude, the sound effects of him entering the room they scared the shit out of me when I watched this. It's like,
it's just running in just,
hey, we got to get it off. Oh, it's got to go. Jim, we fucked up.
I don't know why they chose the guy to voice act Bill.
Hey, Jim,
the whole time I was watching this, I was just like, the whole time I was watching this, I was like, God damn it. Why did they choose the voice actor for Bill the way they did?
Oh, yeah. Hey,
the most like,
he's some like nasally, British
like whiny
guy.
Australian, right?
Oh,
Australian.
I thought he was British. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Anyways,
I can't tell. So, I couldn't tell if it was fake.
See, like, he didn't say crikey or anything, so I think he was British.
That's not how most people talk.
He didn't mention kangaroos once.
Yeah.
He didn't say shrimp on the Barbie even
He didn't say wallaby a single time. I just, what the fuck?
Was he drinking a Foster's? Someone tell me, was he drinking a Foster's?
That's
people in Australia don't
They were obviously
drink
drinking
Foster's,
a Foster's. Apparently.
No. They don't.
Oh, those motherfuckers.
That's a British thing.
That's an American thing, too. My dad loves the Foster's.
That's
I don't know why.
Cayman Islands, Foster's is like the go-to beer.
Australian for spoons.
Australia's got fucking chode canes. That's where it's at.
Yeah.
All right, let me get us back on track here. So Jim gets fucking angry at Bill, as I mentioned, and he's like, yo, coding takes an entire month. Fuck you. Eat my asshole. I'm the only one doing this. And then Bill basically is like, Jim, fix this fucking game. The logistics, we'll figure it out. Please add the enhancer.
Just do it.
And so we get
to the base
footage.
Code.
Yeah, we get footage that cuts again. And then it restarts on the infamous date, July 29th, 1995. And this was the only footage recorded that night. And Jim calls the log, I don't know, I don't care, being tired of working and working. So it starts with a computer running an even more improved build of the game with the text enhancer offline. And the stage is almost identical to the one shown in the video 7/29/95 with just some very, very minor differences. So Jim plays the game again.
You said July 29th, 1995, right?
C.
Yes.
Wait.
Okay. That was a very influential year because that's when Waterfalls by TLC topped the charts.
What the fuck?
That's
when did that's Weird Al's Don't Go Making Phony Calls come out?
The year after.
Oh, damn it.
I think also that's when Tootsie Rolls came out.
It's very possible that Tootsie Rolls.
The Carolina Panthers beat the Jacksonville Jaguars in their first NFL exhibition.
Oh, my God. Everybody shut the fuck up.
Absolutely year that Tootsie Rolls came out.
Please stop talking.
That was the same Jaguars Panthers year. Yeah.
Jim plays the game again, walking all of the fourth floor until he finds a garden with a maze and a toad. Are we good? Are we good? Can I keep going? Can I keep going?
Have you guys watched the Jaguars or the Panthers recently?
I will literally.
Yeah, I watched.
Destroy you.
I actually did last weekend, but.
Sports ball? You like sports ball?
Yeah, sports.
All right, cool. So Jim plays the game again, walking all of the fourth floor until he finds a garden with a maze and a toad shrine and a primitive warp pipe. Mario gets in it and appears in a dark stage with several lights to guide the player.
The History Channel was launched.
Holy shit, really?
Wait, what?
In 1995, yeah.
That sounds right, actually.
Oh my God.
That's actually interesting to me, but I digress. So... God damn it. All right, so Jim is confused. He's very confused, but he still walks the fourth floor while an ominous version of the castle theme plays. Then, only then, Jim finds a yellow switch. And if you don't know what we mean by a switch, if you've played a Mario game, it's just
didn't
a giant bubble. It's a
the switch levels. Like,
it's a POW.
You find the switch level, you unlock things for the whole game.
It's a POW. You hit the button, and then coins turn to bricks and vice versa. It's a
Mario trivia time.
So
that concept was introduced in Super Mario World for the SNES.
Anyways, so yeah, he sees the switch and... We're so close, guys.
Go ahead.
We're so close. Anyways,
I'm so close.
I'm gonna pre.
I'm gonna fucking pre.
Oh, you guys would go, pick Doug, the go. Longest fucking episodes for me to do this.
Yeah, right. I know. I'm sorry. We're not sorry, but we're sorry. Go.
All right. So he sees a switch and it kind of like glitches and then moves forward. And now you see the switch already pressed and the computer jumps and it says low battery. And then apparently Jim is seizuring on the floor and Bill walks in. And he's like, ah, shit, call the ambulance. Fucking... Damn it, Jim, you fucking seasoned on the floor.
Fucking so, Jim.
And then another guy named Steve is there, apparently, and he's like, hey, Bill! And that's literally all right. You hear from Steve, and I don't know what the point of that is, but that's what happens. So after that, the screen turns black and shows a textureless Mario anomaly saying number 9 several times.
No face, right?
Very similar, yes, very similar to the Beatles' Revolution 9. Until he looks at the camera and the footage finally ends. All right.
You know, the Beatles never broke up, right?
That's another episode that people can listen to. Go check out our whole Ringo. But that's where this episode ends. So we actually move forward to another episode called Aftermath. And this episode's only 5 minutes long, all right? So this tape begins by showing the failed attempt of Jim's partners, Steve and Bill, trying to film a commercial for the early 1995 version of Super Mario 64, if the game had been released that year. As we know, it did not.
It did not.
So in the beginning, Bill starts introducing the game, showing the content of the Womp Fortress, the Bomb on Battlefield, Bowser in the Dark World, and the Ultra 64, until the commercial puts a scene of Mario in a thwomp, and Bill says, wait, stop recording, this isn't right. Steve asks him why, to which he replies he got confused and said the wrong line, blah, 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 blah. And then they play the commercial again, and they're basically, you know, going to take two. And it's just, they just keep getting it wrong. He keeps getting confused. And basically, Bill keeps being like, Steve, stop. We gotta fucking start over. I'm not sure about this whole thing. And Bill apologizes and says he won't fail again. But when they're recording again, Bill gets like, he gets like some fucking rage for no reason. He's just like, fuck. Literally, he just screams fuck for no reason. And then Bill explains to Steve that he remembered something about Jim's game scripts. Related to this demo version that he had. And then he asked Steve for information, saying that there are people coming in and out of the building so much, and they're watching, that nothing related to Super Mario 64 comes in or out of the building from anyone. Now,
would you say it's classified information?
I would say that it is definitely classified.
There it is.
Highest level, class S plus.
UMRA clearance.
Just no, yeah, it's whatever he said. So Bill proposes that they skip everything and he goes to the punch scene to do the reset, and then they successfully record the clip. So reassured, Bill thanks God that the textureless Mario anomaly. Actually, let me re-say this.
Slow down.
So basically what happens is they finish recording the clip.
Okay.
And then at the very end of the clip, you see this weird fucking like 2 seconds of a really gabagooly looking fucking Mario, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay.
A very gabagool looking Mario.
Like wireframe.
And Bill's like, wait, what the fuck is that? Can you rewind a little bit? And he's like, yeah, sure. He rewinds a little bit, and then it's not there. And basically, he's like, huh, I could have swore I saw something there. And then some new gameplay footage shows up of Mario swimming in the beta version of Jolly Roger Bay, which is followed by a demonstration of a large, dark, maze-like room with lots of visible bricks. And the footage says it was recorded by Jim, and he's like, fuck, like, I knew he was going to record this. And then Bill apologizes again, saying that he's on the edge, and that when they say they'll, basically they're like, let's go do the Pilot Wings 64 script.
Yeah.
We'll just go do that, because, like, fuck all of this noise that's happening right now.
Interesting distinction to make here. This is where we realize this is at least a duo of people that are in charge of recording a lot of, like, promo videos for video games.
Yeah, you can tell that these guys are basically Nintendo's, like, put all of our games out into the world.
Yeah.
And they're not just focused department. On six, Mario 64.
Two people. So, PR department for a multi-million dollar corporation. Check.
Hey, man, if Kelly could do it for a fucking higher ed institution for 9 years, I think if two people were put in charge of a video game company, as long as you know what you're doing, it works.
Which I said in the very beginning of this, which I probably shouldn't have, but, like, this right here takes you out of it a little bit, in the sense that they're like, there's no way there was three motherfuckers working on Mario 64 and that was it. You know, yeah.
Well,
what I'm saying?
Three,
like,
three that we know of.
Three that we know of, but, like,
they're also not Japanese.
Yes.
At all.
Very not Japanese. We and will Nintendo get to that. Is a. Anyways, let me keep us on track here for just a little bit, because we're almost done here.
We're close.
So. Basically, we see all this new footage when they rewind it, and basically Bill is like, fucking Jim, like, why are you recording this shit that you're not supposed to be recording? And he gets intrigued and he asks Steve if that level was made by the enhancer. And since that material cannot be recorded yet, Steve tells him to just remove the enhancer from the game, but Bill gets mad at him and sneers and kind of, like, acts all pissy about it. And then Bill apologizes again because he's on his fucking period or something. And he says that he's on the edge and that they need to, you know, go record some new stuff.
Dude, Bill's fucking on one.
Yeah, Bill is on one. So once they start doing this, we see more of Jim's logs in place of where this footage should be. But basically, after that, we get this textureless Mario anomaly, which we've seen a lot, but we haven't been able to really, like, pinpoint a reason for him yet. But basically,
do we want to name fun. Him?
He wasn't having fun.
To be fair, like, this specific entity does have a name according to the other Greenio tapes.
Well, it's literally the Mario anomaly.
Or, but it has a name, though.
Mario.
It doesn't really matter, though. Either way, keep going.
All right, so long story short.
It's your section. I'm going to start.
Bill realizes that there's a recorder recording them at this time when they try to go do the Pilot Wings thing. He's like, how long has this thing been rolling here? And then after he says that, we see the fucking textureless Mario anomaly. And basically the castle appears, and very similar to the one seen in the deeper cavern and promo show, the anomaly starts just like I don't know how to explain it, but it, like, starts, like, glitch materializing in a frame.
Mm-hmm.
And then he starts talking to the viewers, breaking the fourth wall, and it says, moved, I have been moved, someplace unknown, someplace dark, he wants to know, he will not stop until he knows.
She got real religious all of a sudden.
Everything after this dialogue, he spams the phrase "it hurts" several times, and he appears in black and white picture, distorted and without eyes, saying "my name is," and just
what?
Keeps repeating those things.
Chicka chicka slim shady.
And then finally we see this Nintendo 64 controller appear, with the buttons A and B being mashed constantly until the screen turned black and the tape ends.
Yeah,
but if you're a fucking internet sleuth and you fucking look at the way that these buttons are being playing.
Yeah, yeah.
Shut your fucking mouth. No, please. It's not. It is the not. Buttons, it's not Morse code.
Nope.
It's called a bacon cipher.
I thought it was Morse code at first.
Bacon spelled like B-A-C-O-N, bacon cipher.
Like pork
butt.
I'm glad you looked into it because I saw that and I'm like, I bet that's a thing. But I do not care to look into it. So I'm very glad
that,
you did.
That set off alarm bells so much.
Basically, it gave us the name Stanley. If you translate that sequence from a bacon cipher, you get the name Stanley. And I will talk about that at the end of this. So we go to the next episode. It's called the epilogue. This is the last episode in season two. And it is 33 fucking minutes long.
It's a big one.
And I'm going to TLDR the shit out of this.
To be fair.
Because there's no reason for me to talk about this whole episode.
To be fair, you can cut like 12 minutes of the whole. Yeah. The whole, like,
I can cut 25 minutes of this episode.
Let's hear it.
All right. So the tape begins with Bill and Steve having a conversation with each other where Steve states that he woke up in the morning to check on Super Mario 64 and half of the fucking levels just vanished. All right. And he's telling Bill to meet him at E3, which is going to happen in just a few days.
He woke up now, and wanted to check on it, like, it's see if it's still breathing.
Yeah, he's like, is it incubated yet? Did it hatch? Yeah, so basically he's like,
it's my baby!
It's straight
my
up.
My baby!
He's like, okay, it's still there, except it wasn't there. So basically the tape cuts and to black and before fading to a new episode of Nintendo Mania with the Mario Bros.
Was Nintendo Mania an actual thing, or is that a play on Nintendo Power?
Probably a play on Nintendo Power. I'm not sure, actually. I don't think Nintendo Mania was an actual thing.
I also, I know...
A quick Google search will solve this problem. I'm just too lazy to
do so. I know that there was a Mario and Luigi animated show.
There was an animated show, but it's definitely not Nintendo Mania.
Right.
Nintendo Mania was a Mexican video game-oriented television program broadcast between 1995 and 2000.
So it was real.
Jesus Christ.
Wow.
So no, it's not. No, that's not canon. Nobody's going to argue that. Okay.
No, right, cool. Because we're not smart enough.
I just say it's not canon. Everyone's like, all right. Okay.
Sure.
Yes.
You know, he used that word. He must know more than I do.
All right. So anyways, this Nintendo Mania is way different than the original one that we saw because now they are like these animated 2D cartoon guys doing it
instead of a
3D animated Mario. Yeah.
It's almost like they're on like a nightclub stage.
Yeah.
I like the sprites.
And
I like
I said, I'm going to TLDR the shit out of this episode because there is so much that happens and there's so much that I don't need to talk about in this. So near the end of this tape,
I do have one request. Just let me know when I need to do this.
Okay, yeah, I know, I got you.
Yeah.
Okay, so the tape cuts to black before... nope, I already said that. God damn it, I'm sorry. So near the end of this little like Nintendo Mania clip, it begins to glitch out. And basically you see the words, "This isn't right," in the glitch, and then Mario basically like looks at the screen and he says, "Tell the producers to roll the footage," and then basically we get more gameplay of Mario 64. You don't have to, you don't have to do it just yet.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, so we get a bunch of gameplay.
I'm just excited,
like,
Doug.
We get a ton of gameplay, and I'm talking a ton of gameplay that
more
really
red coins.
Did not need to be there, but it is. So the gameplay starts with Mario walking around the castle, and then Mario then continues to go through a bunch of different levels that aren't seen in the final game, as well as an early version of the Jolly Roger Bay, and he has to destroy these keys along the way, and he has to do two of these keys to, I guess, continue forward and actually make any progress. So after the two keys are destroyed, the footage cuts back to Nintendo Mania. We get then a tape that shows Mario all alone in the studio until Luigi suddenly appears and then proceeds to insult Mario along with the audience, and they're just laughing at Mario. And after this, Luigi just keeps on saying,
"They love ya! They 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 love ya!"
Just over and over again. Just over and over and over again.
Yeah.
With Discord cutting that out, it's almost like he's just saying labia over and over again.
labia. Labia.
labia.
I didn't boost it enough. No, it's Luigi going, they love ya.
They love ya.
Yeah. He says it 12 fucking times.
It is a ton of different times.
That Luigi just starts like randomly like insulting him in the audience too. But I don't know if you're going to touch on this or not, but to me it seems like Mario is like flashing in and out of like maybe like consciousness or some sort of like he's not all there.
I feel like
he's blacking out, coming back in.
I
wasn't going to go that deep into it because honestly, this episode is so fucking long, but I will touch a little bit on some things about it. So
you there's go. That. You go, Glenn.
Yeah. So, after that, we cut to more gameplay of Mario 64. And you basically see him continuing to play levels that we are not familiar with. So we cut to a weird scene, where once this gameplay ends, we see Mario and Luigi talking to each other. And basically it is this like depressing ass little cutscene where Mario and Luigi are basically talking about how they want to stay together when they're doing these things. And Luigi's like, hey, man, like, we're just pretending, man.
Like, it's just for the show.
Like, it's just the show, man. And Mario's like,
was he cheating?
You're fucking right. It's so fucking weird. It is so weird.
It's Cheech and Chong.
This is probably like my least favorite thing that happens in this whole series. Like, this was the thing that was like,
and I'm done.
I did not care for this part at all, but that's a different conversation to have at the end of this. So long story short, they're like, yeah, bro, gotta stick together, man. And then Mario's like, yeah, let's fucking stay together. And then he turns around and there's just no one, right? Luigi's gone, the audience is gone, nobody's there. And then basically we cut to more gameplay. And then during this gameplay, Mario ends up finding a wall with a door in like the side of a wall that's basically a similar to the flower maze that Luigi was in that he entered when he was walking around the brick maze. And then after that whole part, it turned into the flower wall. It's basically the same thing.
Not Deeper Cavern, the one after that.
Promo show. And then once he basically gets into that door, we get this text on the screen that pops up and it says, I don't know what to do. I'm finished. You just get lost every time and you never listen. You always hurt me. And then Mario like starts to briefly appear on the screen in this like weird apparition version, which we've already talked about.
Yep.
And he says, Jim. That's your name. I saw it in the woods inside of me. I saw other names too, and they're your friends. I don't think they like you, and I don't think you like me. Because you hurt me so much, I can go away. I want to go, please. And then Mario fades out and says, I'm not having fun. Basically, this episode ends with Jim running a script on his computer to erase the AI.
You say Mario's not having fun.
Yeah. And then he tells the viewers in his final words, before he goes out, he says to the viewers that he's the one that stole the tapes, and it all ends here for good. And then along with some music over the text, it says, the end. So that is literally the last episode we get in
Linkin Park's
season 2.
Numb comes then to cue, and then you see directed
I've
by Michael
become
Bay.
Become so numb.
What
I can't feel you there.
All right, so real quick, before we go over a bunch of stuff.
Yes.
I want to give you guys a basic timeline of this because we have covered this completely out of order.
100%.
Now, this is going to be a very basic, like, here's the name of the episode and where it comes in line. So
it's great that everything is titled after a date for the most part, too.
That helps a lot.
So season one basically gives us timeline of things, which is great. But season two gives us a bunch of videos that are named after different things. So the first video in the series is called Genesis, which is one of the ones I went over.
It's the second video in season two.
But it basically shows the start of everything that happens. But long story short, we get the Genesis video, then 7:29:95, then 11:15:95, and then we get prologue. And then
which
we get
the first video of season two.
Yep. And then we get aftermath, which is the second to last video of season two. And then we get 12:05:95. And then, as you would assume, we get 1:26:96.
Yep.
And then we get promo show, snow level playtest, and deeper cavern.
Those are, yep. Those are almost put, like, posted in order.
Yep. And then we get 9:14:96. And then, as you would assume, we get 5:30:97.
The other 97.
9:02:97.
And eventually.
And then we get epilogue.
Cool.
Which is the very ending.
There is a YouTube channel that put them all in order and you can watch them in order.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, you can watch them in order. And to be fair, this whole thing, even watching it in order, doesn't really do much for the story, I guess.
You're getting the same info.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I don't know. Maybe it's just
some
me.
Of the mystery out of the first season if you do that too.
Yes.
I think.
100%.
Right. But to TLDR, the entire series up until now.
Yeah, what the fuck just happened?
A sentient AI was basically put into a game, stuck in a primitive hardware, way, way less advanced than itself. And this AI essentially affected the game, the programmers, and the whole outcome of the release of this game. And this is the story that we're being told.
Is there
to show you what that is?
Is there like a tagline or a catchphrase that might encompass that AI doing this thing?
If you have one, you can say it for sure.
Be
the tagline that you might
recognize. Nintendo fun never ends. Never out of fun. Nintendo.
There's infinite Nintendo wieners to suck.
Nintendo fun.
Suck a wiener if you've ever wienered a suck.
Yep, you got it.
Every copy of Super Mario 64 is different.
64 is personalized.
There it is.
Personalized.
Every copy of Super Mario 64 is personalized. Now, this was an urban legend that took form way the fuck back in the day. It was like 97, 98. It was like right after Mario 64 actually came out. And the urban legend was, essentially, every single N64 cartridge that came out with Super Mario 64 was personalized to that person's experience. And the reason that it was personalized is because of the super advanced AI that was put into these N64 cartridges. And I even found like a copy.
That's how that works.
Slash creepypasta.
Just put some AI in it. You just put it in there.
Absolutely. So this is actually
like
injected. I feel like this
injected in.
No, yeah.
This whole story was taken from this urban legend of every copy of Super Mario 64 is personalized. And like I said, for a while, a lot of people thought that's what it was. It was because of this copypasta. So this is how it went. Every copy of Super Mario 64 is personalized. Nintendo's experimental AI adapts and subtly creates a slightly altered version of the game tailored specifically for you, appealing to you subconsciously in ways you don't even notice.
This
as well
Koopa
as attempting
gives you
to mess
three
with you
coins. This one gives
and study
you two.
How you react to it. Yeah, pretty much. That's that they think that everyone has something different going on.
Advanced AI.
Have you ever played someone else's copy of Mario 64? Have you ever felt like something was just a little bit off?
No.
That's why, and that's how.
Okay.
Well, fuck off, Mike.
Well, Mike has only played other people's copies.
Yeah, he's never played his own because he... Right. You're the control. Get the fuck out of here, control. That's why this is how. This is much more than just a simple experimentation with procedural generation. There are many layers to this, and some of them are more sinister and malicious than others. Super Mario 64 is, at its core, an insidious and evil work of human creation. Now, the Wario apparition, as seen here, the Wario apparition was created from the subconscious wishes to see him in Mario 64.
that the shared desired caused him to appear in as a horrifying half-start in some copies of the game. The image is what it's supposed to look like, but those who encountered it in-game can't even describe what it looked like, as many suffer from memory loss and stroke-like symptoms.
Stroking?
Strokes. If you suspect you're seeing it in-game, it suggests you shut the console off immediately, because once you give it power by witnessing it, it gains power to begin manifesting itself in your reality. Every copy of Mario 64 is personalized. Every copy of Mario 64 is personalized. Every copy of Mario 64 is personalized. Every copy of Mario 64 is personalized.
Every copy.
It is, and that's the quite literally different strokes for different folks.
Yes, 100%.
We have to take the shot.
We do. God damn it, Janine.
It's almost like that was alluded at in episode one when you keep seeing the hex code that says every copy.
Or when it's in the description
weird.
Of every single video.
Full so fucking weird. Circle.
Oh my God.
Yes.
So I guess impressions. What do we impressions? What do we think?
Yeah, actually,
the good. I like
what
it
do, what
a
do we
lot.
Think of this?
What's the good, the bad,
I like it
and
too.
The Wario of this?
Ugly.
The good, the bad, the good, the Wario. Bad.
Yeah, I love it.
I guess I'll start. Fucking. All right. So.
Oh wait. Real or fake?
actually, the first line in every video description.
Yeah, the first line in every video description says this is fake. So is this real or okay. fake? Everybody, 1, 2, 3.
Real.
Okay, real. Hold on.
Fake.
Hold on, actually. I don't want to do real or fake for the Analog Horror series because it's obvious. But real or fake, there's something weird going on with Super Mario 64 that is causing people to have these sorts of, like, this...
Like, so like
you're making every me want to be you're making me want to plug my every, version in
every copy is personalized is a thing or not, right?
Yeah,
is that what you're saying? Something off, something personal about every copy? And
I don't think it even has to be necessarily an advanced AI that's intentionally changing it. Just something weird's going on,
like a small tweak here and there.
Like, yeah, could like, it, there's,
could it be, there's, like there's a cloud in this frame on this cartridge but not on this cartridge. This
or
one
just,
gives
know,
you extra
just something
point.
That makes them different.
Yeah,
for some reason.
We love you.
I agree. Right. Actually, I so think that's probably pretty.
Well, so, let's do that. So on three is yeah. Are they actually personalized? 1, 2, 3. No.
Damn.
Okay, that was a lot of build up to the same answer. Great.
We didn't have that kind of technology in the '90s. AI.
Well, it's
because
I researched this too much.
Maybe
AI didn't exist in the '90s.
I dug too deep for this one to for any of this to have any kind of question around it.
That's not true though. AI was there. It just wasn't where it was.
It was not
at now.
It was not.
You
I could can
have
read
built some
your
randomization
experience.
Into it.
Before we close everything out, let's just see real quick. Doug, what did you think of this whole thing? Real fast.
Did
what'd
you
think?
Did
good?
You
I didn't. Did you ask me specifically? Because all I heard was
Oh. Doug.
Okay, yeah, no, I did really like this whole thing. There was a couple things that took me out immediately, which I had already mentioned in the beginning. But for the most part, this is a good analog horror in my opinion, because it didn't follow this like the normal analog horror. Yeah, it wasn't a local 58 clone. It wasn't, you know, it did its own thing, and that's great. I don't think video game analog horror or ARGs are really my cup of tea. I'm not really sure why. I think because I just know better. I don't know if
you
it's,
just can't, you can't get immersed.
I can't. I can't really get immersed in this whole thing. I think this is great though. I thought it was really fun. So I don't want to knock on it at all. I think it was well done.
Jason,
yeah,
I'm in the same boat as Doug. Like I know that we have all become like internet horror snobs at this point. Like we feel like we know what's best. As I said, I'm not a huge
fan.
Let's
not ever put that
horror.
To the test.
Yeah, please God, let's not, because it will not come out well.
That's what she said.
Like I said, I am not a fan of analog horror, but this one, like I sincerely love this one.
Referring to the kid.
No comment.
Please continue.
You want me to keep going, get us past this horrible, horrible topic?
Please do.
Oh, okay. I normally don't like analog horrors. And like at first I did, I saw the allure and then I watched four of them and I was like, cool, they're all the same. But this one, I honestly, like it enthralled me. I don't know if that's like my nostalgia coming to fruition with me growing up with Mario 64, having the N64 be like one of the major consoles that I played on. I don't know what it is, but I just latched onto this one and I fucking followed every word for it. It was just so enthralling to me. I loved it. And again, like I said, analog horror, not my thing, especially after seeing the local 58 clones, all of them, all 200 of them.
Moody Mutt Cheeks, what did you think?
I thought it was good. I really enjoyed the first season. I appreciate the attention to detail with a lot of things like the development
Fuck yes.
kit, the ROM hacks that had to go into making this happen. That's super cool. I did look into some of Green EO's like bonus content that they used to post on their Twitter that's now deleted. And she posted a bunch of like development videos and stuff that are super cool. A lot of these levels are actually like ROM hacks that were created of levels that are in the game, mixed with some clever editing. So I really enjoy the technical aspect of how this was done. I very much appreciate that it's not just like a doomsday slideshow TV broadcast clone. So props for originality.
I was scared because for a moment in one of my episodes, they do a
emergency broadcast.
Yep. And I'm like, don't do it.
No. But that was so okay.
Comes up.
Yeah. But it was
I think they did it. I think they did it the one time and they were like,
they were just checking off that trope checkbox.
Yeah. That hit that YouTube algorithm.
And okay, cool. We are now analog horror.
Yeah. Awesome. We are an analog horror now. That's fine. We're good. Yeah,
we got the VHS filter.
Yeah.
We're good.
Exactly.
The bad and the Wario of it would be the two things. I wasn't entirely captivated by the story of the three developers in the second season. I thought for the reasons that Doug already covered, some of it didn't make a lot of sense. And I thought it was a little bit of a shame to kind of take something that I think is really, really well done and is super entertaining and I felt like that kind of tarnished it a bit for me.
I think I would have rather just listened to them talk about a sentient AI than the fucking developers.
100%.
Yeah.
I'd rather learn more about the personalization AI. Like,
that's really it. And I don't think anyone talked about the internal plexus the whole episode. No. Oh.
Well, because it's not fucking apparent, like at all.
Yeah. It's not, but I'll go over it in a minute once you guys are done talking about it.
The only other thing, and my only gripe with season one, the only thing I have is that the CRT TV that we see in multiple videos throughout the series is for a series that is so good at paying attention to detail and puts so much effort into like creating convincing imagery. They picked a flat screen Sony Trinitron from the early 2000s. That kind of line of CRTs didn't come out until 1998. And there are development shots from, they're supposed to be from 1995.
Greenio, you dumb bitch. We fucking got you. You put
it
more.
Just, I don't know. I saw the silver flat screen CRT and I was just like, no.
Delete all of your videos, Greenio. If you're listening to this, fuck
so
you.
Matt, I'm so happy you caught that. But yeah, that was painful.
Moot is to like technology where it's supposed to be as like a Star Trek fan where it's like, well, actually that happened in episode 248.
Anyway, Mike, what'd you think?
The good, loved it. Yes. Like you said, I loved all the attention to detail. Season one was probably very close to like what I think is like one of the perfect analog horrors to me. Season two fell off. In my opinion,
I took mine.
No, yeah, go ahead. I'll wait.
Patiently sat here and listened to all of our reviews.
No, you're right.
I'm so sorry.
You're right. Can we apologize to Mike real quick?
You didn't flag it.
What are we flagging?
All right, go ahead.
Okay, great. Anyway,
we are so sorry, Mike. We love you.
It's okay. I love you too. Season one, perfect. I love me a good video game. Analog horror, I think that's wonderful. Personally, like, I don't play video games that often. I do Let's Plays because I can't play video games all that great. I get too there's too much going on. I get too bored. I get sidetracked. So I like watching people play them instead. So unlike Doug, I prefer video game analog horror. It's great. I love it. Season one, fantastic. I love, like Moot said, I love the attention to detail. Everything seemed genuine and they put a lot of quality effort into it. Like this wasn't just something that they just like slapped a filter on. No, like Moot said, there's ROMs that went into it. It seems like, in my opinion, they had a genuine VHS camera that they're recording stuff off.
If they didn't, they at least replicated the visual. Like,
part of me thinks they didn't, only because in some of the episodes when you're watching it record the CRT TV, the was it the frame rate bar that goes down? It doesn't happen at a It doesn't happen on 100%. The monitor at a regular pace. It's kind of more random. So part of me thinks it's a filter, but even if it is, like, good job. They spent time on getting a high quality filter. I would agree. I think season two tried implementing a bit too much.
I agree.
I think they dove way too much into into weird plot. And this
the
is
the relationship between Mario and Luigi, honestly.
Yeah. And, like, and
they could have
I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that even. But my biggest gripe is, and this happens with every single video game analog horror, it is always some sort of video game centered around some sort of spirit or paranormal phenomenon, and it involves some sort of death, which, you know, it is creepy or whatever. But like Ben Drowned, for example.
And a character always kills himself. Thank
you. Yeah, exactly. Yes. Character always kills himself. There's always a you always turn the corner and there's a dead character, which you know is fine, but I want to see something a bit different because there's a lot of
We can predict that shit at this point. Like, you know when that's about to happen.
Yeah. And there's a lot of capability, because if you're making, like, with like video games nowadays, like, people have like all the files and everything to a video game where you can essentially build your own story in a video game that's already created. So like, I feel like you could do more now with an analog horror than just, oh, this cartridge is haunted, or, oh, there's a bunch of death and misery. Make something, it could still be scary without the implications of a suicide or of a ghost. You know what I mean?
I will say suicide always reinforces that
dread
and darkness. But
And then my last gripe, the Wario of it all, I feel like the plot got
the plot got too hazy
for a while there, because I was like, oh, this is a story about
it's a little fuzzy exactly who the antagonist is and how they're interacting with the characters.
Like, I can get past, like, you guys were saying, like, oh, it's hard to believe that, like, three people were working on a Nintendo game. I was talking to Moot about this earlier. What I got from this was, this felt like it was an alternate reality where Super Mario 64 was, like, an indie-developed kind of game. So they had a smaller group.
This was Catastrophe Crow all the fuck over.
And...
But with no story, right? That's what I'm saying.
Working on it, so that was kind of the plot that I was seeing—a smaller group working on a game for Nintendo. I don't think that's the case, but that's what I got, and I think that would have made more sense if you go that alternate reality route rather than we get no explanation on why these three guys are in charge of working on Nintendo's biggest IP in their history.
Literally, the game they're using to advertise their console.
Yeah. So other than that, I'm just about done. I'm going to say out of 10, I'm going to give it like a good 8 out of 10. Yeah. Loved it. 8 out of 10.
All right. So real quick, I wasn't going to bring it up, but Matt, you kind of said it right just a little bit ago. Tell me, what is this series really about?
Yes.
What's the point?
Give us a plot map.
Either
of you.
It's about a game.
See, I haven't. Where it falls apart for me a little bit is, like, obviously it's about this, like, AI that went haywire and, like, started causing problems. But
I basically TLDR'd it, right?
I don't know if the series is supposed to be summed up as it is the developers trying to deal with this AI that's gone haywire, or if it's really more about these characters that are trapped in the game that are, like, trying to deal with this AI.
Ooh!
But we get no plot progression with the characters inside of the game.
But what if it was about both of those things?
Greenio, if you're listening, help.
I'm actually trying
to spoon feed you guys here. It legit is about both of those things.
Yeah, but well, they
the developers are getting stuck inside the game. Like,
yes, so, the people, the personas you see between Peach, Luigi, Mario, Toad, everybody.
Like when they die, their spirits end up in the game or whatever.
Yes, those are real people. Like not NPCs.
Is that also your theory as to why he's like attacking the boos? Are the boos ghosts or something?
The boos are literally just memories of the castle. Okay. Like that's why he kills all of them. Because he's trying to erase the past and ignite the future by rescuing the princess and setting a whole new stage in front of him.
I'm sorry. Did I go over the internal plexus thing?
No, you didn't.
No, you said you were going to do that after our reviews.
Yeah, so real quick.
A big part of this.
If you were to go back and watch all of these videos, there's a couple pieces of information that I'd want you to know. One is who they, he, and it is. So they is Steve and Bill. If you ever hear anyone refer to they,
Steve and Bill.
Steve and Bill.
Excluding Jim. No Jim.
Correct. If you hear he, it's Jim. And if you hear it, it's Stanley, the AI. So AI. That's the one thing I didn't want to like give away during my part is that the AI's far, name right? is Stanley.
Yeah.
And you get that from that little bacon cipher that I was talking about earlier. But long story short, there's something called the internal plexus of this whole thing. And it's actually a part of the Mario iceberg that is in IRL. But basically, the internal plexus is this phenomenon, an anomaly relating to the internal structure of Princess Peach's castle. So if you don't quite understand what I mean by that, it's that if you take Princess Peach's castle in any form, no matter if it's the original version that we know and love as Mario 64, or if it's the version in, you know, Mario Unclassified or Classified or whatever the fuck, we'll do an episode on Declassified. But long story short,
there's four separate versions.
Basically,
three inside Classified and the one existing outside that.
Right. And so if you take this word, the internal plexus, it's the fact that none of the rooms in the castle really equate to a livable space. They're just this internal space to progress storyline, to just be spaces, really. And I don't know how to explain it much better than that, other than the fact that no matter how you look at Peach's castle in any format, it's fucking weird.
Yeah.
It's done very, very, what's the word? Liminal,
yeah.
I guess is a great word for it. There's no rhyme or reason to
it's
why
like a
the fuck
fucked up theme park attraction, really. It's like
right.
a Disneyland.
Yeah,
exactly. So
the plexus is like the underground tunnels.
Yes.
Yeah. You get all these different like roads and paths that lead all over the place. And that's what the Peach's castle is in Mario 64, no matter what meta you're digesting it in.
Yep.
Right.
Meta.
So
it's constant.
Meta.
Anyways, we're at, you know, almost 3 fucking hours in this episode. Why don't we off?
Let's fucking wrap this up.
I'm stuck at Diluti.com where you become a member and you can get fun merch and discounts on merch. You can always also see all of our links to all of our socials on there. We're either Diluti Pod everywhere or Don't Look Under the Internet everywhere. Subscribe to all of our socials. The YouTube is youtube.com/@DilutiPod or just
go to sleep listening to our YouTube,
yeah,
please.
Just
some
look up
do
Don't Look Under the Internet. You can go to patreon.com/DilutiPod. You can chuck in something or even nothing. You could find us over at our Google phone number, 630-909-9366. You can leave us a voicemail. We play it at the end of every show. Or you could send us a text message, and we respond to those texts as well. We have our Hometown Horrors coming up this year. It's coming up quick. We're almost to that time. By the time this comes out, it's going to be damn near close to recording time. So what you could do is go to our Gmail. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And if you go to our Gmail, you could do subject line, Hometown Horrors dash your name.
All right, hold on.
And then you leave
I'm in my email.
Okay.
You said subject line?
Yep.
Or like, okay.
I can hear myself echoing, by the way.
It's too late to do anything
about it.
That's
on you.
Oh, no.
Yep.
Anyway.
That's definitely on you.
Okay.
Anyway, Hometown Horrors.
Put your ears away.
Yeah. Anyway, Hometown Horrors is coming up. So you go to our Gmail, dilutipod@gmail.com, and you use subject line hometown horrors dash your name, and then show us your story. If we like the story and we think it's super awesome, we will read it on the show, or we'll ask if you want to come on and read it on the show yourself for the people.
We have like three right now.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, we have more.
Please
we'll
give us more. I'm saying we have three right now. If you want to be
more.
Included, we need a handful more, but we always end up getting a bunch at the very fucking end of when they're due. So if you want to for sure get yourself in,
you say it like there's
do
homework.
It now.
Like it's due.
It is due. It is due.
October 30th.
Fuck our 25% listeners.
25% off every day. It's late.
Yep. And then our P.O. box is in the description for everything. You could go there, send us something fun, like Megamind DVDs.
You could.
Or send us whatever weird shit you have growing in your sock drawer. I don't know. You could visit friends of the show, Ghoulish Mortals in St. Charles, Illinois. We love them. Mention the show when you buy merch and it'll put a smile on their face. You can use Undefined Graphics Mike Lowy for all of your photography and graphic arts needs. And then go listen to the Unplanned Podnancy boys over at Unplanned Podnancy.
Is that still happening?
Yeah.
Kind of, yeah.
Mike and I did an episode a couple of weeks ago. I think I have a new voice that'll be showing up here pretty soon.
Ooh. Hell yeah.
It was a joke, but I love you, and I'm glad that's happening still.
Also, go listen to Shifting Sands.
Yeah, that thing has been out for 2 years.
It's on the internet. It's incomplete. It makes no fucking sense.
We don't want any of that.
We'll play a video game where you play as a sentient tooth and you have to collect toothbrushes. Doug, what do you got for the people?
You know what? Slap your peens and beans together. Just like wholeheartedly, just like do that shit.
Pour it up.
You don't have to talk. You don't have to like let us know you did it. I don't want to see it. But if you just do it, it's good for you. Really.
Jason?
Really, very good.
What do you have for
people? If you guys have heard Doug's little message here and also have read the story of Macbeth, you know that the lady doth protest too much. But either way, stay fucking paranoid. Keep your wits
up. Don't have sex with Hamlet.
Don't have sex with Hamlet, whatever you do. Either way, just make sure that you keep your wits about you. Make sure that you can coherently recognize the story when it's being told. And don't get fucked up with the details.
And
at all.
Mutholomule.
Oh, have sex with Pinocchio.
Yeah, go do that.
Moot.
Mutholomule J. Simpson. What do you have?
Write better notes. That's a note to myself. And then don't have ham with sexlet.
Yeah, don't do that.
Cheers, everybody.
Did you say don't have sex ham?
No, don't have ham with sexlet.
Don't have ham don't with sexlet.
Sex. Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, goodbye, everybody. We love you equally. Except one of you more.
Janine.
My mother. I love you, Mom.